Quaker Puffed Rice Sparkies bring you... Quaker Puffed Rice Sparkies bring you Terry and the Pirates.
Well, Pat Ryan's trick worked with the help of Terry and Hotshot Charlie. They set up a portable recording machine in a hotel room and placed a hidden microphone in a wastebasket in another room. With a stage set, they waited. And sure enough, the man they wanted, a killer, showed up. And every word of his conversation was taken down on a phonograph record. It was a thrilling confession. But there's more to come, so stand by.
Oh, here comes Quaker with a bang, bang. Ra-da-da-da-da, bang, bang. Quaker Puffed Rice Sparkies, the rice that shot from guns. Family's favorite breakfast, the rice that shot from guns. Quaker Puffed Rice Sparkies have vitamins, do tell. Easy step to extra pep, and boy, the taste is well. Here comes Quaker with a bang, bang. Ra-da-da-da-da, bang, bang.
Hiya, gang. Are you on your toes today? Okay, then. What did the broken-down automobile say to the garage mechanic? Well, it said, I could go for you. Uh-oh. I wish mine would go for me. And now, gang, what's the ready-to-eat breakfast treat you go for? Right you are. It's Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. And why do you go for them? Say, that's easy. They're the popular cereal grains of wheat shot from guns. Plump, golden kernels exploded 8 times normal size. Magnified and glorified. Every bite packed with nut-like flavor. And bringing you the benefits of nourishing wheat in delightful, easy-to-digest form. And how do you go for Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies? That's a cinch, too. Any way and every way. At breakfast, lunch, or supper, they hit the spot with just milk and sugar. Or top to a tea with your favorite fruit, fresh or preserved. You think I'm just talking? Well, then, discover why today more people than ever before are enjoying Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. Try them yourself. But remember to ask for Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. They come only in the big Quaker packages that are red and blue. They're the ones for you.
The picture looks like this. In room 431 is a recording machine run by Terry and Hotshot Charlie. In room 301, the hotel room of Mrs. Susie Sainsbury, are 3 people, Susie and the killer, Cuffney. Pat Ryan is hidden in a nearby clothes closet, something Cuffney does not know.
It was getting mighty hot and stuffy in this 2x4 closet. I knew Cuffney was still in the room with Mrs. Sainsbury because I could hear the murmur of their voices. Although I couldn't quite make out what was being said. The lady knew I was hiding in here as a protection, just in case Cuffney decided to try and put her out of the way. Then, after what seemed to be hours, there was silence. And then Susie opened the closet door.
Monsieur Ryan, it is so you can come up now.
Boy, it's good to get a breath of air. That closet is like a hot box.
Mon Dieu.
Oh, come now. It's all over. I know it's been a strain. But...
Monsieur, that man, he is terrible. Me, I do not know what to expect.
I know. It's been a tough job talking to him, but whatever he said has been taken down by the record-making machine in the room above. Now, don't try to tell me anything. Just sit down and relax.
Oui. It is so you hear what Monsieur Cuffney has said to me?
No. The closet door was shut. I could hear a murmur of voices now and then.
Oh, Monsieur, I am afraid he would kill me.
No. Oh,
me, he says so many things.
Well, that's good. We got the entire conversation. Wait, I'll call Terry and find out. Room 301, please. Hey, if we got the conversation down on the record, if there's been no slip-ups... Oh, Terry, did you get the voices? Ah, good. What's that? Well, what's the name? Oh, Moss Bunker, huh? I see. Something about the room. Okay, Terry, you keep him there, and I'll be right up.
Yes, Representative Moss Bunker is here. He claims this room, 431, has been reserved for him.
That's exactly right, young man. I don't know what all this falderal is about. You speaking of catching a killer like, but it's utterly fantastic.
I wish you'd come up here, Pat, and explain to Mr. Moss Bunker what's happened. Okay. Mr. Ryan will be right up. I'm sure he can make you understand what has just happened.
It's incredible, like. I step in here and then you lock the door and prevent me from leaving. I'll have you understand, young man.
Ah, dry up.
Charlie, please.
Oh, we got lots of people like him back in Boston. They don't know nothing and all was well.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Moss Bunker has heard the details and I've promised to let him in on the big newspaper publicity. I'm sure he'll forgive us for being so discourteous.
Look, Terry, we sit here glued to this recording outfit. We're trying to catch a murder, and this man acts like a bad little boy.
I don't think I like you, young man.
So, okay. Tonight I won't sleep. I'm getting tired of thickheads.
Charlie, after all, we are in this room, and it was reserved for this gentleman.
I think you are a very decent young American.
Well, thanks, Senator.
No, a representative. It's more or less senator-like.
That must be Mr. Ryan. I'll let him in.
Hey, did you get everything? That's my big worry.
We sure did. We got the record right here, and boy, if this doesn't send him to the chair or something.
That's fine, Charlie. And this is Representative Mossbunker. I'm delighted to meet you, sir. I have heard of your great work in China. As an American citizen, I'm proud of you, Mr. Mossbunker.
I must say your friends have a fine way of showing it.
I tried to explain, Pat. Of course, Mr. Mossbunker couldn't hear what was recorded, but you might explain.
Oh, yes, of course. We'll keep no secrets from him.
You realize, of course, that I can cause a great deal of trouble over this little difficulty, like. I'm not used to being pushed around, like.
Well, my apologies to the representative. If he'll permit me to explain, then we'll let him have this room.
There's been a murder, a couple of murders, a lot of things.
It sounds very queer-like
to
me.
Won't you sit down, sir? It's great to see a statesman from my country. What part of the states are you from?
From the 17th Congressional District of the great state.
Of course, I should have known.
Let me have some sane, sensible-like explanation for why your young friends refused to vacate this hotel room.
Mr. Mossbunker, I need your help and your promise of secrecy and silence.
Like?
Hey, Charlie, make the necessary adjustments, will you, so we can hear that record? I want Moss back. Mr. Mossbunker, to hear what we just got. I kind of like to hear it myself.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Pat, I told this gentleman if all goes well, he could take newspaper credit for catching the killer. I'm sure that we want to stay in the background, huh?
Yeah, it's an excellent thought, Terry. Perhaps he doesn't care to have his name in the newspapers.
Newspapers? My name? Well, I have no objection as long as it presents me in a decent light.
We're all set, Mr. Ryan.
Okay, Charlie, spin the platter.
Conversation is just between us, Mrs. Sainsbury. Just between us.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Then you admit you give the people on the yacht, eh?
Yes. Yes. I got rid of Pierre. And if Dr. Fontaine had not seen me throw Pierre overboard, well, the doctor would be alive today.
What sort of mumbo-jumbo is this? Turn it off. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, turn it off, Charlie.
Okay.
We got the whole thing, Pat. Cuffy admitted the killings and explained to Susie why he didn't want to go to Indochina. Golly, wait till you hear the record all the way through. Gee, you know, Cuffney is the half-brother to Dr. John Quill.
The half-brother?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be...
Gentlemen, you confuse me. What is all this?
It's murder, Representative Mossbunker. With this record, we'll confront the killer.
Where is he?
He was in the room below. His conversation with Mrs. Sainsbury was recorded up here on this machine.
Sainsbury? Not my old friend Conrad Sainsbury. What has his wife got to do with a murder? This is ridiculous, like.
No, it isn't. The killer is Sainsbury's secretary, a man named Cuffy.
Oh, come. These are people I know. Why, Conrad backed my campaign for re-election. He'll back me again. I can't listen to any more.
You're going to listen.
You're not going out of this room and shoot off your big mouth about what you've just heard. Not if I have to set on you until the 1948 campaign.
Why, this is... I refuse to be intimidated, like.
Then listen, like. I don't want to be tough, but I want you to listen to what's on this phonograph record. Then we'll have another talk. Go ahead, Charlie. Put that needle down.
Just in time, too. A Fontaine would have reached that Medlar Ryan and his friends. But Fontaine didn't talk, I'm sure of it. Neither will you.
And you will not give me another threat. May no, I'm not.
My dear lady, killing you is a waste of time. I can do plenty of harm to your husband, to ruin him. And that means you will again be just what you are, a cheap, frowsy gold digger who managed to charm a wealthy man into marrying you, a man 30 years older than yourself. Forgive me if I speak plainly, but I want you to know just how foolish
I listened to the record, and I watched its effect on Representative Mossbacher. And when it was over, I could see he knew this wasn't some trick recording. There was a long silence, and then the man spoke.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ryan. I didn't know, didn't understand how serious this situation was. I wish to apologize, like, to you and your young friends. I've come close to making a mess of your efforts. However, I want to lend my name and influence in this case. I realize I've stumbled, like, into something that is pretty serious. What can I do?
Well, thank you, sir. As Terry said, we wish to stay out of the newspapers, but if you will act on our behalf, that is, cooperate in the final stages of this unpleasant affair, we'll appreciate it.
What do you wish?
We want you to take the credit for catching Cuffney, that it was your idea to use this recording machine.
Ah, it'll be a sensational news item.
Sure, pictures and everything.
Gentlemen, Mossbacher will do it. Count on me, like.
And tomorrow, like, there'll be the big showdown, the incriminating record, the trap that catches the killer, a thrill a minute. So stand by for High Spot Tips.
Quake up a fried sparky, the right red shot from gun. Here comes Quake with a bang, bang. Ra-da-da-da-da, bang, bang.
Gang, it's a lot of fun, isn't it? Listening each day to the adventures of Terry and his friends. You bet it is. Well, sir, you'll find it fun, too, if you sit down each morning to the breakfast shot from guns. That's Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies with milk and fruit. Yes, sir-ee. Pour yourself out a bowl full of this delicious, ready-to-eat wheat cereal shot from guns. Add milk and top with fruit. Well, fresh fruit, stewed or preserved, just whatever's handy. Man, oh man, you'll say, does that ever hit the spot? Because Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies have a tender crispness, a melt-in-your-mouth flavor that's in a class by itself. Look for the famous Quaker man on each big red and blue package. That means it's the original, the one and only Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies.
Terry and the Pirates is dramatized for radio by Albert Barker, who says, let's not overlook the most important figure in this case, Secretary Cuffney. Although he doesn't know that his conversation with Susie has been recorded, he may have a few plans of his own. So be on the lookout for surprises. Same time, same station. Terry and the Pirates is directed by Wiley Adams.
Pirates!